Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Jeremy Anabnit. And he came in second place in our transformation contest. Go to AdonisIndex.com and check out his picks. Your after picks are fantastic. And me and Jeremy were just talking. So you're in Bangkok right now, or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in Bangkok right now. We've been going back and forth trying to get this phone call to work. We had some connectivity issues earlier. But anyways, you know what? Let's just start. Can we just I like the story you were just telling me. That's kind of revealing. Let's just kind of go with that. So to bring everyone up to speed, I was just asking Jeremy how it is that he ended up in Bangkok, because it's been taking me a while to actually catch up with you on the phone. We were just, you know. Right. Because even your mother on the Venus side, she kicked ass on that side, and she's like, oh, you might have a hard time getting a hold of him, and so I kind of knew it was going to be tough to track you down. Yeah. So let's talk about how it is that you came to be on the other side of the world, because you were here at least a little while ago, right?
Sure. Yeah. Just a few years ago, I was working in California, and I was in outside sales, working in the building industry and the air conditioning industry, and had a good job, had a house, things were going pretty well, and as many people know, things started to not go so well in that industry from 2006 on. So at a certain point, I had to kind of reevaluate things, and I guess it was kind of a time in my life where I was doing a lot of thinking and, you know, really thinking about who I was and, you know, what I was doing and if I enjoyed that, and started asking a lot of deep questions, you know, what do I want to do with my life? Am I doing it? What do I need to do to make things happen? And I decided I wanted to travel. I was tired of working. I was you know, making good money at a point, but I wasn't enjoying it. Now I was making less money, or at that point I was making less money, and I thought something's got to change. Like, this isn't for me. And I always thought, well, I'd love to go traveling. I'd love to see the world, and I'd done a little bit of it in the past. You know, I've been to a few places and kind of got a taste of it, and I really fell in love with it. So at that point, I made some tough decisions, let go of my house, sold a few things, cut down my expenses, and just traded one lifestyle for another. And so now, in the last couple of years, I've been traveling to different places around the world, teaching English, volunteering, doing different things to kind of make my time worthwhile and to help others if I can.
Was this a tough decision? Because you're asking some pretty, those are pretty fundamental questions. Like, what exactly do I want to do with my life? And like, I know people like talk about that, but you obviously like went right at it and did something about it. So was there some stress involved, or was it just thinking your way through it and then just doing it?
Yeah, mostly financial stress, you know. How's this going to work? How am I going to do this? And it costs so much to travel and whatnot. And, I had to think hard about it. I had to, you know, consult my friends and family. And I also thought creatively, you know, well, I can travel and I can go to these places, and if I volunteer here or if I teach English, I can make a little money to get by. And
so
I had to kind of think outside of the box a little bit, and I took a trip to Kenya for a couple months, kind of a trial run, I guess. I went there and volunteered for a couple months, had a great time, and and I just knew that was it for me. So then it was a matter of putting together my next trip. So I went to the Republic of Georgia a couple months later. Spent about 3 months there. Spent the summer in Italy, and then I went back to the Republic of Georgia. The whole time living with host families and and teaching English. Then I came home for 2 months for Christmas, this last year, 2011, and then was home for 2 months, and then before I knew it, I was off again. Myanmar, and that's where I've been the last 3 months, Myanmar, Burma, teaching English, and now I'm in Thailand. Tomorrow I'll fly to Paris for a few days, then Rome for a few days, and then I'll work in Italy again for the summer, and then after that, who knows.
So when were you, when did you find our stuff?
I found your stuff a couple of years ago, actually.
Okay, so you've been aware of us for a while.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, the first product I actually picked up was Eat Stop Eat.
Yep.
I was kind of engaged in another workout program at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked up Eat Stop Eat and started applying that. Saw some great results with that. And then as I listened, as I continued to listen to podcasts and read your stuff, I knew that the Don's was pretty solid. So I knew that when I was going to be in a situation where I had a gym and all that, I was going to convert at that point. So it was just a matter of time before I got going with Adonis also.
Mm-hmm. So what, did the timing just worked out this past contest where you were somewhere where you could string together a few months of training?
Yeah, I got back from Italy last summer and I was in, well, not back, I got back to the Republic of Georgia.
Hang on, are you, like, near a highway? What is all that?
The attendant keeps opening the door.
Oh, there's no...
Yeah.
It's, like, it's so loud I can't hear you when anything drives by.
Yeah. Michael Bond.
No. He can't hear. Okay. He's going to take a minute there to clean the door.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So, yeah. So anyways, yeah, I was in Italy last summer. I went back to the Republic of Georgia, and you had AT6 was about to get going. So I decided I really wanted to get going on this. And so I started looking around for a gym in Georgia, and that was actually pretty tough. No one works out in Georgia.
Oh, right. It's just not something anyone bothers with.
Yeah, they have a track where it's kind of a joke where the Georgians go and exercise, where they just walk this track. And I went to that track and ran a few laps, and everyone on the track was walking around drinking a beer, eating a bag of popcorn, and smoking a cigarette. So
it's flat out just not anything that's in the culture at all.
Yeah, exactly. So there were a couple of gyms that were really for foreigners, and they were like $500 a year, and it's just ridiculous. It was, so I had to do a little bit more digging. I got a tip from a guy that there was a doctor that had like a room with equipment with, I guess, for some of his patients to do some rehab work or something. So I went and found this guy and made a deal with him, and started using that gym after school, after I was done teaching, for about 4 days a week. And started rocking on the Adonis program with the boosters and everything, and bonuses. So I did that through AT6. I submitted my pictures, my before pictures. Did that throughout the fall. And then time came to take the after photos, and just I wasn't really too impressed with the way I handled things on the diet side at that point. So I felt like, and then I kind of gave up, I guess, at that point, on the pictures at least. I was still working out and everything, but I didn't feel like the results were there, and it was really cool with diet. Living with the Georgian host family is a really, really interesting experience. Georgians take great pride in hosting and having guests, and they're incredibly hospitable. So every meal was huge. It was buffet. It was bread, fried potatoes, fried everything. If there was a vegetable on the table, it was fried and it was drenched in oil and covered in salt. Everything was delicious, but it was definitely
not too conducive to trying to winning a contest.
No, not at all. My friends and I in Georgia would joke about the meals and how every bite was 1,000 calories. And, I mean, everybody, most of the Georgian teachers that I met, English teachers that come from U.S., U.K., Australia, everyone was eating great. It was hilarious.
Would it be an offensive thing to try to not eat as much?
Exactly. Yeah. Was something wrong with my cooking or?
So you're kind of in a tough position.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I had to really manipulate eat, stop, eat, or use it to my advantage because I have a big meal. And then I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going without, throughout the school day tomorrow and throughout my workout and all.
Right.
I just eat dinner with them or something. Cause that was enough to get by. I was definitely able to power it in. So
you're not really happy with your results. And then, so what gets you motivated for AT7?
I came home and I knew that I was gonna stay with my folks for probably 2 months or so, and I knew that everything was under my control. I could go to the gym, I could work out, I could control my diet. That was the biggest thing. I mean, I saw great results when I started the Adonis program in September. Mm-hmm. So I started gaining muscles and everything, and I liked that. But when the diet would get out of control, it starts to diminish that progress. Going home, I knew I had a clean slate, everything was under my control. And I actually started, I've been reading some things, and I started taking on a vegan lifestyle. And that really helped too. I mean, I ate a ton of fruits and vegetables. Absolutely loved it. Felt great. And I was at the gym four to 6 days a week. I was always trying to throw in those bonuses too.
Mm-hmm. Did you stay vegan for all of AT7?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And obviously you don't have to go vegan to place in a contest, but this was kind of on a sidetrack. I was kind of making a decision that that's what I wanted to do, for other health reasons.
Sure. No, that's interesting because people are always curious to know if, can I do it vegetarian, and vegan's just an even more extreme, whatever. It's just one level past vegetarianism, so it's and it's interesting for people to see that you can build a good physique, eating vegan. It's going to guide somebody somewhere who was wondering.
Yeah, and a big thing that helped me actually come to that decision was I read Pilon's The Truth About Protein.
Yeah.
Back in September, and so I started making little changes when I could in the fall. I was making my own salads and whatnot. And then quickly the family would say, why are you making a salad? We've got all these fried potatoes here for you.
Right.
But, so I started taking on a vegan lifestyle. I love that. One thing I noticed with that is that after a while, I really lost all the cravings for like the sweet stuff,
Yeah, what's interesting that you brought that up? I've been reading some research that suggests that you can train yourself in and out of cravings.
Yeah.
So even though, and that's why I really don't like these diets that talk about people as being like a carb type or a different type. That's BS. People get used to a type of eating, and then this research shows that you can get people to crave stuff that doesn't even taste good, that they don't like. But if you just feed it to them regularly, they get used to it, and then they start craving it. So, And then that's just compounded by sweets, right? Because we kind of also have a neurochemical reaction to sweet stuff. But like you said, you can train your way in and out of it.
Yeah, totally. I really felt kind of liberated when that all happened. I felt some freedom there. Like, you know, sometimes I would fast and then I'd eat and then I'd have like, I don't know what it would be. It'd be like something with something sweet or something with carbs, and it's like, oh man, I want more. Like that just made me hungrier for more of that. You know,
like, yep.
Some of that kind of food in Georgia, just want more and more and more. So
yeah,
yeah, it's good to do that.
So that's a big swing. You went from the sort of really rich foods in Georgia all the way to veganism less than a year later back home.
Yeah. I was just really fed up in Georgia. I mean, between spending the spring and then the fall there in Georgia, I was just tired of being out of shape and eating to where I wasn't feeling well. Food just made me want to sleep all the time, and I just thought, man, I'm a young guy. I'm trying to live an active lifestyle. I'm trying to do things, and this is just not fit.
Yeah.
In fact, the spring in Georgia put on some weight, and that's what really got me, you know, fired up to start AT6 and kind of try to get this handled for once. And so. Yeah, going into 87, I was ready to rock it. And then, of course, I found out after I entered the contest, I found this teaching job in Myanmar, and I was thinking, oh, okay, that sounds pretty interesting. And so I knew that I wouldn't be able to finish the contest in Myanmar, so I wouldn't be able to track down a gym and whatnot, and I just knew it would be too crazy. So I had until the beginning of March, basically, to work out, and then I took my pictures, I think, March 3rd, and submitted them, so.
You did, I mean, even though it was a shorter time frame, you still did a great job.
Oh, thanks.
So you stuck with a vegan eating pattern. Did you still do ESE, or do you not do that when you got to that degree or no?
Yeah, I think I would work that in. I'd still do that. I can fast 18 hours, you know, pretty easily. And so it just not happen. Just because I'd like to eat more later in the day and do things throughout the day, get my workout done and all that. I love doing that on the stomach. And then eating more later at night. So, yeah, I would fast. I wouldn't think too hard about it. Just be like, okay, well, you know, fast in 15 hours. I'll go a little bit longer, 18, 20 hours or whatever. I didn't, you know, I was never too hard on, like, hitting 24 or...
No, I understand. I'm kind of the same way. I'd sort of take it, like, earlier in the day and eat more of my calories in the evening. Now everyone's going to want to know, did you even pay attention to protein? Like, how do you do that with vegan? Or do you just don't care? You just kind of just ate?
Yeah, when I was at home, I tracked down a couple of protein products, like vegan protein.
Yep.
So I was trying to get to around, at least 70 grams a day.
Yep. Was that hard, or was it relatively easy once you got into a routine?
With the protein shakes, it was a lot easier.
But,
you know, really, a lot of times I didn't concern myself too much with it. It's like, hey, I don't want to have a shake. I want to have a salad or something. Or I'm sure there were plenty of days where I, you know, didn't even have 40 grams of protein in me.
Oh, yeah, I have days like that, too, for sure.
I really didn't.
Did that concern you, or you just didn't care?
I saw muscles being built, and I didn't feel weak. I felt strong. I saw things happening in the mirror, and I didn't let it really concern me, you know?
Yeah, so you just use your actual, the results you're seeing, and you're like, well, then who cares? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no reason to be concerned about some kind of claim about protein when the proof's right in the mirror.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, well, there's also research, and I don't know if it'll help your mindset now or not, but there's also research to indicate, or at least there's a body of research that's pointing towards the fact that people who chronically lift weights, like over time, start becoming more efficient at the way they use protein such that they may need less. Mm. So someone like me or Pilon, who've been doing this for 20 years,
yeah.
As the theory seems to be indicating, is we could get by with a lot less protein because we've become that much more efficient.
Yeah,
so it's cool. Like the more muscle you build, the less protein you need, which is the reverse of what bodybuilders think.
Right. Yeah.
So, but I mean, who cares, right? If you're getting the results, I don't think. I still think the jury's really out on it. Even just approaching the lower limits that Pilon gives and how much protein is probably more than enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing I did, just want to throw this in here, is I decided to stop drinking also.
Oh, like booze.
Yeah. Did a lot of that in Georgia. That was a big part of the culture also.
Yeah.
And, just for really a ton of reasons, I decided, this just isn't what I want to do. And so, I haven't. I've been drinking for 4 months now.
There's a lot more to that. This transformation. There's like all kinds of stuff going on, besides just your body.
I'm constantly like evaluating myself and what I'm doing and the kind of person I am and what do I want in life and. And I'm asking myself these questions, and at a point I just decided alcohol's just not helping me out anyway. It's just, I could list a million reasons why it's, only brought me down, made things harder. It's not helping me be the person I want to be or do the things I want to do, so... I decided to cut that, and I'll say this: so if anyone out there is listening and is on the fence about this, just think about it. Man, you can live a life and have a lot of fun without alcohol. So, I've definitely been doing that for the last 4 months. It's been great.
I've been doing it for years. I don't understand people who need alcohol. I did it in like undergrad just because everyone else did, but I've never understood the necessity for it.
Yeah, and. And it's definitely something freeing about, quitting, and you don't have all the, you don't take on all those physical consequences, the hangover, if you're trying to work out, you have the calories from drinking, you have the calories from the post-drinking binge, you've got the day after, hey, let's just grab a pizza and sit on the couch, all that.
I'm picking up a theme of freeing yourself from all kinds of previous constraints. Whether or not you viewed them that way, it just seems like you've lightened your life load, so to speak. Like the alcohol you said was a freeing experience. The veganism was freeing. Like a lot of these things, like fasting is freeing. It's kind of like a lot of it just sounds like that's the it kind of lightened up your life. I don't know. It just sounds to me like that's kind of like the theme of what's been going on here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, the last couple of years I've sort of. Taken on this mindset where I want to. I had to ask myself what do I want in life, and then figure out how to go about that. And so I'm always looking at what I'm doing, what I'm saying, how I'm acting, and trying to decide if that moves me closer to what I want or further away. And if it's bringing me down, I gotta cut it.
Yep. Because no one else is gonna cut it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess, and you're saying you're the person you want to be, so, and I'm assuming you've embraced the concept that there is no destination. It's our lives are a work in progress the whole time, right?
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. All right, well, what's your, obviously you've managed to make some big changes, and your after pictures are phenomenal, so what would you, what's your advice to other guys who are sort of unhappy with the way their body looks? Like, you know,
yeah,
let's have it.
Take action, man. You got one body. You got one life. With anything in life, find out what you want and go for it. Don't settle for less. You know, if you want an awesome body, go out and get it. Bury the tools. It's not necessarily easy, but it's simple. You know, there's the plan is there. The Adonis plan is awesome. Use eat, stop eat. Just go for it and rock it. Don't settle for excuses. Don't settle for less. You deserve it.
All right. I think that's a good place to leave it, unless you have something else.
I would also just say surround yourself with people who are like-minded. You know, if you're trying to reach a goal, trying to get an awesome body, surround yourself with people who are going to who want the same thing or who are going to encourage you, not bring you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that can't be stated enough. I mean, you've gone from country to country experiencing that, so.
Yeah, exactly. So.
All right, man. Well, I think that's a good place to leave it. Thanks for being on the call, and also congratulations on your placing.
Thank you.
All right. So for Jeremy and Abnett, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.